Good morning. I hope you had a great time worshiping and that you look forward to a great afternoon for those of you who like football. And I hope you're going to have a good time as well. Amen. This particular month, I'd like to concentrate more on the need for us to grow as individuals and eventually help others to come to God. Amen. So, this morning, I will talk deeply and passionately about that issue. Is Jesus Lord of your life? That is a question you may answer in a hurry. But you need to take a little bit of time and examine how you stand and how you handle your life on a day-to-day basis in terms of schedule, in terms of life, in terms of priority. What really is the Lord of your life? Does that make sense? When you get that in perspective, growth begins to happen. Because on a day-to-day basis, there is all kinds of things that the devil puts at you that may sway you from Jesus being Lord and just get you to something else. And that takes time. So we need to be aware and alert to the fact that that can change for anyone. And so this morning, Ecclesiastes 7:16 says, do not be overrighteous, neither be overwise. Why destroy yourself? Solomon talks about that because when you become overrighteous, that becomes your pride. Becomes your place of, this is what I do well, and forget that Jesus needs to be all of your life. So you take one thing that you do well and get pride out of that. And slowly but surely, that becomes your idol. And Jesus is not Lord anymore. Neither of our, it says, overwise, same thing happens. So in the place of God, pride comes in. And we begin to depend on those things other than God. So that is why he talks about this. So he says, why destroy yourself? So we destroy ourselves because we take whatever God is doing good and make that the basis of our faith. So we have to start moving forward and start growing and not allowing ourselves to arrive for whatever good that God is doing in our life. But rather, walk with that, praise God with that, and grow with that. Amen? First point, one thing you lack. Mark 10:17-20. As Jesus was on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? I don't know why Jesus was not very keen to be called good. But sometimes, you know, you have to be careful with flattery when it comes your way. It says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. The commandments, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. He came from a very religious or very faith-based family. Does that make sense? He's been doing this for a long time. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I like that. He looked at him and loved him. Not cut him down, not put him in his place. He loved him. And the Bible says, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You may read that and think, well, wealth is a problem. You missed the point. Wealth is not a problem. He was doing everything in terms of being right with God. But he had switched from Jesus being Lord and now relied on what he was doing. That is what he had changed. So when Jesus said, you know, told him, go sell everything and come follow me, clearly, that was the big thing for in his life. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but Jesus had stopped being the Lord of his life because he had now taken on a lifestyle of just religiosity and made him feel like, I'm good because of the things I do. We are only saved by the grace of God. Hence, now we must take that grace every day to spur us on to do greater things for God and to reach out to other people. And God and Jesus looked at him and loved him, not teared him down. He loved him and said, one thing you lack. How do we look at the lost people? Do we love them? do we love them and say, one thing you lack, you need to find God. We live in a Bible Belt setup where everybody goes to church one way or another. At least they hear about God. So if you're going to talk to them, you better love them and show them one thing you lack. Who is Jesus? Is Jesus Lord of your life? That is the question this morning. Is Jesus Lord of your life? And that begins to sway around. You can ask yourself, is he really Lord of my life, my time, my money, my work, my everything? Do I love the lost and touch and say, I need to touch these people and talk to them about God? Here we go. Secondly, fear of persecution. That's another thing that can really just hold you back from experiencing God. We fear persecution. We like to be liked, to fit in, to be like everyone. Here's what the Bible says, John 9:18-21. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. They called his parents. They asked them, is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him, he's old enough to speak for himself. When your parents do that to you, you know things are in danger. I mean, you're in trouble now. You're old enough? This is a very strong religious community that the leader of the day of that, the leader of this, of that particular community, I mean of this, the establishment of religion could decide what happens to your future. And that is what's causing the parents to be afraid. But look at what happens. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. The implications are heavy. You could have no place to be buried. You could have a lot of problems even financially. So it's not just being afraid of the synagogue rulers. It's just there's a lot that can go wrong here. But when Jesus is Lord, you rise above your fears. When Jesus is Lord, you stop the active desire of fitting in and you start the active desire of letting people know who Jesus is in your life and in their life. It changes everything. So the point here is, if Jesus is Lord, you got to ask that question is, are you actively trying to fit in or just be the disciple that God has called you to be? We try so hard to fit in that if we took the same energy just to be disciples, it would be amazing how we'd touch this world. We lose our saltiness. We lose our light. Why? Because we're trying so much to fit in. And so we exchange our joy. Why? Because we're not real. We're not being exactly, I'm a Christian, but I don't like to talk about it. That is a bad place to be. In this case, that's their son, and they know he was healed by Jesus, but they could not say he was healed by Jesus. Why? They were afraid. You don't want to be in that place. As Christians, we don't want to be afraid of persecution, but rather, and I'm not talking about creating just trouble to be persecuted. I'm talking about where you live a life that really shows you a man or woman of God. I'm not talking about you going to the office and just making trouble. No, I'm saying really, I'm just a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is who I am. And sometimes I create trouble and I thank God for that opportunity. Does that make sense? So church, for us to grow is we got to embrace Jesus in every aspect. And that is a question. Have you embraced Jesus in every aspect? Your thought, your attitude, your neighborhood. How do you look at this? We will have a lot of time today, so let's keep rolling on this one. Moving on. The receiving Christian. We can be Christians that receive a lot, but don't give. The Bible says it's blessed to give than to receive. John 6:26-27. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. Amen? Let's stay here. Well, you know the story. They were following Him and coming, and He done miracles. And the Bible says here, now Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs. It's possible that we come to church, we come to God because we receive. And that's good. But there's another side of that coin. It's important that you understand what God is doing in your life. That He's trying to transform you and change you to make you a different person. And hopefully you can turn around and help others as well. Does that make sense? It's not just about you. We cannot make Christianity all about us. We've got to learn to receive, but also to give of ourselves. Amen. In the simple places I can ask you, one is, do you give of yourself in family groups? Do you even show up? I mean, let me talk about something that we don't give of ourselves a lot. How about midweek? Now, we can be Sunday Christians. But the Bible teaches that this is the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, when we all come together, we need to be here on Wednesdays. We're covering a lot of good stuff there. Does that make sense? But if you only show up on Sundays and you get in the mumbo jumbo of where does it say that, well, you haven't read the whole scripture and you're not understanding the aspect of Jesus being Lord. That is why you play on convenience. And before you know it, you get comfortable in your convenient lifestyle. So you don't fight to be there when God calls you to be there. And you cannot have two hats. Then you eventually start to struggle with commitment to God. You begin to struggle with giving 100% to God. That's why I was questioning them. Are you here just because I fed you? Or did you not understand the miraculous signs? 27, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Sometimes we are so concerned about being comfortable that we don't sacrifice. We don't enjoy just the actual sacrificial living, giving of ourselves. Spend your energy seeking eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given Him the seal of approval. If we get that one down, I tell you, we can help a lot of people to know God. But our lives will be more joyful. Anyone that lives to receive gets very sad. But when you're giving of yourself, you enjoy life. I mean, try this week and sit home and just watch TV and ask everyone to bring food on your coach. What will happen by the end of the week? You'll be a very sad person. You got to get out and give of yourself. Does that make sense? That is how God has designed our lives. Give of ourselves. So we cannot be just receiving Christians. We've got to give of ourselves. The one another relationship is all about giving of one another. Getting in the Bible is about giving of yourself to God so that He can reveal Himself to you. Does that make sense? Helping anyone know God is all about you saying, listen, God has been so good to me. How can I help you? You've got to give of yourself, not just receive. What about the popular Christian? Luke 6:26. This can happen to us sometimes. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. That something is wrong when everyone agrees with you. You're a false prophet. And yet we work so hard to make sure that nobody disagrees with us. Now, some of us like conflict. That's just who we are. I think we need to repent a little bit and not push that too much. Some of us just like conflict. We like to butt heads. Yeah, I like it when it's hot. That's the place for me. I like the action. Well, I understand that, but God wants you to be peaceful. Does that make sense? Now, the popular Christian knows it's different. You can sow seeds of discord to be liked sometimes. You can also, you know, it says, well, you can also just not say the whole truth. And sometimes popularity can even come in the form of gossip sometimes. You know that? You can go around gossiping. Did you hear? Have you heard? Have you heard? You become the guy that has the latest news. You're the Google, the human Google that tells people what's going on. But that is on the flip side of funny. Let's talk about it in a real sense. In a real sense, is we are afraid to say what Jesus said to people. We are afraid to call people to God's standards. What did God really say about being a disciple? If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. You got to deny yourself. That's just the fact. Sacrifice. It's not a place to come and settle. It's a place of denying yourself. And many of us hear that word and say, whoa, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you sacrificing to be a midweek. I'm talking about you sacrificing to be here doing the right things with one another, relationships, helping someone to know God. It's all about sacrifice. Does that make sense? Serving your spouse, being a great family member. It's all about sacrificing. Does that make sense? And we can go on and on. There's just so many other things we can do, but it's not about being popular. And I want to make sure the teens understand that Christianity is not about fitting in. You may get a lot of likes, but when you talk about Christ, you may not get likes. If you look at your likes and talking about Christ, a lot of that may go away. You got to come to Christ and help them to see that it's not about being popular, it's about being godly. That is respected, not popular. John 5:14. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Again, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Let me explain the background. He had been at the pool for 38 years. Jesus came and asked him, "Do you want to get well?" He didn't say yes. He said, "Every time I want to get in, someone gets in before me." He went on with the story. Jesus did not bother about that so much. Instead, he turned around and still healed him. Does that make sense? And then he went around and the Pharisees were giving a hard time. He could not even say who had healed him because he hadn't seen where Jesus was. Finally, he saw him and Jesus sees him and says, "You stop sinning." In other words, it's possible that you come to church, your life gets better, but you haven't repented. It's almost like therapy. You feel better on Sunday, but Wednesday you're feeling terrible. You can't wait for the next lift that Wednesday evening. You get another one, and then by Sunday you're feeling terrible. You can't just keep getting a little bit better. So if you're visiting, it's not just that we talk about good things, that if you really want a life that is changing, you've got to repent. It's not just feeling better. Sometimes we confess to feel better. It's repentance that God is looking for. So that's why he tells him, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are feeling well again. Stop sinning." You'd think that after 38 years of suffering, he would change. The level of addiction to a sinful lifestyle is so huge. We have to make effort to repent. When you repent, you change totally. You become a different person. But that also requires that you sacrifice, you change, say, "You know what, I'll be different." That's the kind of walk we're talking about. When Jesus is Lord, you make changes. We've got to stop having this good feel attitude when we walk in here and really start making changes. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for you to feel good. That's okay. But don't stop there. Repent. Amen. You may feel like, wow, that really helped me change something, or I'm feeling better, I understand that. But repent and get on the journey of repentance. And repentance is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. It never stops. So you have to keep a teat and not just feel good. Keep repenting and transforming. And then as we change, we can help. As we grow, the church grows. As the church grows, we can help more people to know God. Does that make sense? Don't settle. Don't settle. We settle so easily. We have different things we used to settle. I've gotten this level of education so I can settle now. I've gotten this level of money, I can settle now. You can never settle spiritually. The spiritual journey does not end until we get to heaven. So there's no settling. We are always growing. I was telling my daughter yesterday that I was seeing something in my character, and I was telling her, you know, it's like an onion. You peel it out and it's fresh and it's nice. It looks very nice. Then a few days later, you might need to do some peeling again. But some of us get tired of peeling and we go into oxidation and it just begins to die. You have to get used to peeling it. It may take two, the different pills will come different times. Does that make sense? What about the benevolent? The benevolent Christianity? I want to talk about this for a moment. It's good to help people, to love people, but let's talk about this for a while. Meanwhile, in Bethany, at the home of Simon, and a man who had previously had leprosy, while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. "What a waste of money," they said. "It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me?" It's good to give to the poor. Amen? But you cannot end there. And we want to do that this year a lot and reach out to the poor and community. Does that make sense? We've got to go there because it's the heart of God, compassion. But to end there is to forget that we are called to save, to seek and save the lost as well. So yes, do that, but seek and save the lost. Does that make sense? That's a quiet place when I went there. Because many of us have really left that aspect of our Christian faith. We don't seek and save the lost a lot. We just... And it's a lifestyle. If you come on Thursday or Wednesdays, we talk about how to go about that. Does that make sense? Today I just want to talk a little bit about... They were all very critical about, why do that? We could have sold this, sold that. And we get so opinionated, and we'll talk about that for a moment. What about, it's good to seek and save the lost, to be benevolent, but that's not all. You can't stop there. That's just like, I feel good because I touched those. What about those that are lost? We're going to reach out to them as well. Does that make sense? What about how you're doing at home? How about your spiritual life? What's going on? All that needs to be a part of your daily life of making Jesus is Lord. Amen? So we can't just have benevolent Christianity and that's it. That's part of it, but we've got to do more and touch other people as well. Does that make sense? And I think, I honestly feel like for many of us, we think we are poor. I don't know if it was Peter Berry who was saying that American poverty is having two TVs versus having one TV. I said, what are you talking? I mean, it was a conversation, it was a joke somewhere that we were having a conversation. I said, that's very interesting. In some places, that's more than it. But anyway, we live in a first world, so the poverty is different. Nevertheless, we've got to address the fact that we can't just do that alone. We've got to reach out to people as well. I think if you give them the spiritual nourishment, it'll be stronger than just the food. And we need to do that. Food and clothing. And we need to do that. So Jesus was a bit wondering why they're criticizing all that. It's okay to do it, but there's much more as well. Let's talk about this a little bit. Intellectual Christianity, Mark 12:24. Jesus replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures of the power of God?" Sometimes we read scriptures and get caught up in the root word and all that stuff, but we don't do any repentance. We're just in the meanings of it, but never make the changes. And you know the story here, they had been asking if this man had married this wife and then she died, and then, I mean, he died, another person married, whose name will it be? And when we raise up from heaven, who will own the wife? And they were caught up in the future and how will that be comfortable instead of, what about now? And so we can get very intellectual. It's all here, but nothing practical. And there's a place for intellectualism. You need to understand. You need to understand how it works. That's good. I'm not asking you to have blind faith. But after that, you got to move into the action part. Faith without deeds is dead. We've got to make it happen. Does that make sense? It can't just be we talk and talk and talk and intellectualize it. And after that, we go home and sit around. No, we got to do something about it. Does that make sense? Amen. So it's not just talking and intellectualizing our faith. It's important to grow beyond the intellectual aspect of it and put it into practice. And sometimes you are not going to know the truth until you practice it. You can talk and talk all you want. The only way you figure out how it works is put it into practice. Let me go. I've got two more, but I need to finish now. The opinionated Christian, Matthew 26:11. You will always have the poor among you, but will not always have me. Now, I'm going to the very end of that scripture when he was being... he talks about you always have the poor, and I'm going back to the other scripture that I talked about, how they were criticizing the lady pouring that perfume to her, and they were now being very critical of the whole issue. But the point is that we can be so opinionated that we miss the point of what God is doing. And let me face it, culturally we're very opinionated anyway. That's just the culture we live in. Does that make sense? In the name of rights of that, and oh, that's all good. But you've got to ask yourself, when it comes to God, do you submit? Because you may be bringing that into your faith with God, and you're not submitting to God. Not to me, to God. To scriptures. Just submit to what God is saying. So be careful that that is not your culture and your way of thinking to a point where you're not seeing God doing anything. And finally, but not least, is Jesus is the Jesus' Lord. Christianity is where I want to end. Matthew 28:16-17. We all know what it says from 18 to 20, right? Okay, if you've been around a long time, you know what it says from 18 to 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Nobody's trying to help me. I'm assuming you know that stuff, right? Yes. Am I assuming right? Yes. Okay. So I'll go up north because that's been talked about. And let's talk about this for a moment. Matthew 28:16-17. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That they worshipped Jesus when they saw him. But some doubted and struggled with it. Then after that, it talks about making disciples. I believe before you make disciples, you must worship Jesus. If that is not your call and you're doubting, it'll be difficult for you to help anyone to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and making Jesus Lord of their life. So to make Jesus Lord is to worship him. When you worship him, he's everything to you. He's Lord of everything in your life. If you doubt, it's going to be a challenge. So you have to address your doubts. What is it that causes doubts in you about Jesus being Lord? What is it that steals your faith? That is what you've got to address and make Jesus Lord of your life. Some doubted. But in verse 18 takes on and says, then go make disciples in all nations. Yes, you can. Don't be afraid when I talk about it. It's healthy to make disciples. Now, some of us are not good at it. You come on Wednesday and we'll talk about that. Today, I just want to encourage you to understand you got to worship God. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be in a good place. I pray that this morning, I challenged you to restore Jesus to the rightful place in your heart. If you're not right with God, ask someone. How does this work? What is this Christian faith? They'll help you to come around. God bless you.